We've had a great week on the holiday at home week. And there's been a lot of learning together, hasn't there? Trying to work out how different people move around. And there was one point where everybody was following me. That's because I was driving the minibus. Therefore, those behind had to follow. And as we come to the theme of discipleship, we're talking about following. They say in certain parts of the country, and I won't be specific, so I won't be accused of anything. They said, if you want the people to follow you, find out where they're going and just run and get in front. They say that a leader without followers is just a lonely person taking a walk. Following, discipleship. This is the next part of our series on our church's aspirations. If you don't know what the church's aspirations are, you'll remember, or many of the church a couple of years ago now got around to it. Have you ever said, I wish I could get around to it? There's all those things that we hope one day people will get around to. And maybe you have that sense that maybe your husband and wife will say, yes, I will do that job when I get around to it. Look, friends, this is your opportunity today. When you go out to the church, we've got some spare round to it from when we gave them out last time. You can give it your husband or your wife and say, I've now got you around to it. This is our round to it. And on the back of the round to it, there are coasters out there which you can take one of if you haven't already got. It's got on the back our church aspirations. And one of them is that we are a disciple-making church. And in that it says, committed to growing in our faith. A disciple-making church, committed to growing in our faith. Being a disciple is more than just saying, yes, I will follow. The disciple, as Jan explained earlier in the service, is to learn from the master and to become like him. We often ask the question, what would Jesus do? But we pay little attention to becoming like him, living as he would have us live, and being what he calls us to be. And so today, as we consider being a disciple-making church and for us to be disciples, I want to start by focusing in on the words of the psalm that Bren read. And if you look at Psalm 19, the last words, may these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Most translations translate it slightly different, and they say, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my Lord and my rock and my redeemer. I wonder if we could actually pray that prayer for ourselves today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Because that's a big statement, isn't it? As we begin this series or this message on discipleship, is what's coming out of our mouths? What's being thought of in our hearts? Is that pleasing to God? Now, I know that the thoughts of my heart, it's very easy to hide from people, isn't it? And maybe you thrive on the whole fact that actually what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your mind, it's easy to hide from people. Because after all, we don't really want people to know what's going on inside us, do we? When that person cuts us up on the road, and we say, because we've got passengers in the car, oh, praise the Lord. And inside we're saying something very different. Or when we get to the queue at the post office and it's urgent and we need to get this done quickly because it's our lunch hour and we see the queue and we think, oh, well, we don't say what we think. But because we're with another Christian, we say, oh, isn't this a great opportunity to witness? Oh, so often what's going on inside us is so different to what we are proclaiming to others. Yet the truth is, what's going on inside us is what God hears, what God sees. And so as we come to this words of this psalm, may the words of my heart, my words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. We've got to ask, what is it that we're offering to God for him to be pleased with? What comes out of the mouth is often what's in the heart, and therefore we need to start with who we are. And then that verse goes on, be pleasing in your sight, Lord. I want to think a bit about the word Lord. The disciples were with Jesus for a few years before Peter confessed Jesus as his Lord and his God. Up to then, they were learning about Jesus and who Jesus was. So what does the word Lord mean in the context of discipleship? The word Lord means he's in charge. He's sovereign. He's first in our lives. We want to be obedient to him. There's that early Christian church call, Jesus is Lord. Can we declare that today? As individuals, can we declare Jesus is Lord of our lives? Can we, hand on heart, say Jesus is Lord? There's our challenge for the morning. Is Jesus Lord? Or are you still in charge? Are you still trying to take control of your lives and your ambitions? Is he Lord of your life? Can we declare him Lord of your life today? Because being Lord means he influences every decision we make in everything we do. Is he Lord of your home and what goes on in your home? The way you behave to one another within your family. Is he Lord of your car and the way you drive and the way you treat other road users wearing your own protective metal box? Is he Lord of your finances and what you spend your money on and your priorities with your finances? Is he Lord of your work? When you go to work, is Jesus Lord that you're doing it as unto him? Is he Lord of your time, what you spend time doing? Can you sit before Jesus and say, well, Jesus, this last week, this is what my life looked like, and I believe you were Lord of it? Or were there times when you thought, nah, I'm just going to do what I want? Is he Lord of your relationships? Can you take your relationships to God and say, Lord, I am proud of what my relationships are. I can honor you with my relationships. The way I treat my children and my spouse, I am proud of it. I want to be able to say, yes, Lord, you are Lord of it. The way I treat my friendships, I want to say, Lord, yes, I can bring that. And I know you're Lord of it. What are the things in our relationships that we would rather God did not see? Our family. Is he Lord of the way our family works? Where he is sovereign. Is he Lord of our social activities? Is he Lord of our mouth and what comes out of it? Is he Lord of our bodies and what we allow to happen to them? If If Jesus is not Lord of all, is he Lord at all? Because it's easy for us to say, yes, we are disciples, but if Jesus is not Lord, we are not truly disciples. We're doing a pick and mix Christianity. Do you remember Woolworths? Oh, yes, they say. We used to go there weekly. And the pick and mix. And the great thing about pick and mix is when you go to the pick and mix, particularly on the wine gums, you could just take the colours you liked. And on the quality streets, you could just take the flavours you liked. You didn't have to take all the ones you didn't like as well. And often we treat discipleship like that. Let's go and take the bits I like about church and about following Jesus, but I don't like that bit, so I'm going to leave that bit behind. When Jesus said to the disciples and when he said to us, follow me, it was follow Jesus in all ways, not just the comfortable bits. And when we come to this psalm, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, Lord. We have to ask ourselves, are they pleasing? The late John Stott said these words, every day the Christian is to die. Every day the Christian renounces sovereignty of their own will. Every day they renew their unconditional surrender to Jesus. Being a disciple is to every day unconditionally surrender ourselves to the control and to Jesus. And the words of Jesus to his disciples in Mark chapter 1 were very simply, follow me. Following me means letting go from that which is holding back. Following Jesus means to be free to do what God wants us to do. In the scripture, it was about sacrifice. It was about lifestyle changes. It was about renouncing the lesser loyalties in our lives. The first disciples left their nets, their livelihoods, their parents, their tax collecting careers to follow Jesus where he called them. And so we have asked the question ourselves, what are we being called to let go of to truly follow Jesus? Recently we had the European football finals, didn't we? And there were those who followed their team to some remote places to support them in the final. They paid a lot of money to go there. And some of them went there to come back very disappointed. We won't mention the teams today. Others did not get there in the first place. We saw the devotion of the followers of football teams. How much more should we be focused and devoted to following Jesus wherever he calls us to go? Jesus being Lord means there are no rivals in us. Remember the second commandment, thou shalt have no idols. Or to put it another way, no two-timing God. The disciples left everything. They rose and followed him. At the simplest call of Christ was, follow me. He asks men and women for their personal allegiance. He invites them to learn from him, to obey his words, and to identify themselves with his cause. It implies rather an inward surrender of both and a refusal to allow either family ambition to occupy the first place in our lives. And it comes as we renounce our sins. It comes as we repent and say, yes, Lord, have your way. Joe, I've come across many Christians who say, we want to change the world. And I want to ask you the question, who here wants to change the world for God? Okay, you can indicate this point. Who here wants to change the world for God? A few. Who wants to see the world a better place where there's better values? Yeah, who wants to see God sovereign in the world? Who wants to see God's way being done here in Romford? Okay, it starts by a change of ourselves. You can't change the world if you've not been changed yourself first. And so often we allow bad behaviour, we act wrongly, and we say, well, it's just me. As if it's okay. We allow careless talk and say, it's just me, as if it's okay. No, it is not. We need to allow ourselves to be changed. Repent and turn from every thought, word, deed, and habit which we know to be wrong. It's not sufficient to feel the pangs of remorse or to make some kind of apology to God. Fundamentally, being a disciple is about a matter of changing. Changing the way we speak, changing the way we think, and changing our attitude towards sin. It's about being a disciple, it's about going by the clear teaching of the Bible and by the prompting of your conscience and Christ, we will gradually become more and more like Christ and go along the path of righteousness. And when God starts to put his finger on something, it's about us changing. It may be that we have to give up some association or recreation, give up some literature that we love to read, or some attitude of pride, jealousy, resentment, or maybe we need to get around to forgiving that person who we have held so much against. John Stott again. Jesus does not call us to a sloppy half-heartedness, but to a vigorous, absolute commitment. He calls us to make him Lord. We often sing that very simple song, he is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. And sometimes we turn it, but we always struggle with that when we turn it to he's my Lord. Is he our Lord today? You see, after repentance, there's handing over the steering wheel to God to drive our lives. So often in life, there's a current and seemingly gathering belief that we can enjoy the benefits of Christ's salvation without accepting the challenge of his sovereign lordship. We can change the Bible to fit what we want, or decide that some parts of the Bible are no longer relevant. That notion is not found in Scripture. The Bible in 2 Timothy 3:16 says all Scripture is God-breathed. And if that's the Word of God, we need to take it seriously. We need to recognize that as we say Jesus is Lord, we are saying that from the creed of the early Christians. And that very creed was going against the citizens that were required to say Caesar is Lord. It was about being different. God has exalted his son Jesus far above all principalities and powers, invested him with a rank superior to every rank that's before him, and every knee shall bow, says Paul in the book of Philippians, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To make Jesus Lord is to bring every department of our public and private life under his control. This includes our career. God has a purpose for every life. Our business is to discover it and to do it. To be disciples of Jesus is to make him Lord and to follow him wherever he may call us to go. God's plan may be different to the plan of our parents. And parents here, whatever plans you've got for your children, God may have different plans for them. And that may be costly for you as parents. If Christ is Lord, we must be open to the possibility of change. And so I come back and ask the question again. As disciples of Jesus Christ, is Jesus Lord of your life? As disciples of Jesus Christ, will you follow him wherever he calls you to go? As disciples of Jesus Christ, will you recognize that he should be in charge of every aspect of our lives, from our relationship to our social time, to what we read and watch, to what we do? Is Jesus truly reigning? If we're going to be a disciple making church, it's going to be made up of disciples who are committed, really committed, to Jesus being Lord. In a moment, we're going to sing a song, "May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart bless your name, Jesus." For this is what I'm glad to do. It's a time to live a life of love that pleases you. I will give my all to you, surrendering everything I have, and follow you. And follow you. Let me give you a warning before you sing this. The warning is, if you say that and mean it, your life could take a different direction. If you say it and mean it, and say truly that Jesus is Lord of your life, things can happen. If you surrender everything to God's purposes, God will take you seriously and use you for his glory. And so, respond to the gospel. Respond to what Jesus says. Respond to what the message is about today. But respond with knowledge that following Jesus, truly following Jesus, can be an adventure that may have bumpy times. And our prayer is that we will glorify our Saviour. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Can you pray that prayer with the psalmist this morning? Will you restart your discipleship with Jesus today? Will you let him really take the driving wheel and lead you wherever he may call you to go? Let's be quiet for a moment.